Turn with me to the book of Matthew, St. Matthew, chapter number 12. We're going to read a few verses here. Be encouraged in the Word of God this morning. If you're here and you're struggling, maybe even gave up. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got something you think you'll never get victory over. Listen to the Word of God this morning. Turn with me to Matthew 12, and we're going to start reading at verse number 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council or a meeting against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. As we look at these few verses, amen, we see that a religious group went off on the first verse of that day. What they were doing, they was looking for a way that they might destroy Jesus. But we want to focus our attention this morning on verse number 20 especially. A bruised reed shall he not break. Thank God. And a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. What a verse. What a verse in the Bible. Here Matthew understands Jesus to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. We go back to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Let's pick up a few verses. Verse 1 says, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the owl shall wait for his law. It says he would not break a bruised reed, nor quench a smoking flax. Well, what does a bruised reed and a smoking flax represent in these scriptures? Scripture says you'll not break a crushed reed nor quench the smoking wick, really. The reed may be bruised, hardly able to stand erect. The wick may be weak, and the light may be but just a flicker left. A man's witness may be shaky and weak. The light of his life may be but a flicker, not even a flame. He may have been overcome to the place where he feels like there is no hope. He may feel like he'll never be free from the bondage that he's in. But Jesus didn't come to discourage. Jesus came to encourage. He did not come to treat the weak with contempt, but he come, amen, with understanding. He didn't come to extinguish the weak flame, but he come to nurse it back to a clearer, stronger light. The most precious thing about Jesus is the fact that he's not a discourager, thank God, but rather he is an encourager. A reed is symbolic of what? Of weakness. Weakness. Turn with me to Ezekiel, the 29th chapter, verse 6. And all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of a reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of thee by the hand, thou didst break and rend all their shoulders. And when they leaned upon thee, thou breakest and madest all their loins to be at a stand. Flax, as it's used here in the scripture, is symbolic of a wick of a lamp. When all the oil has burned away and nothing is left but smoke, as it gradually burns itself out. What is Jesus saying to us this morning? The bruised reed, representing fallen man, may recover with the proper nutrients from heaven. Our flax, smoking flax, may flame into life once again. Amen. With a supply of fresh oil. Praise God. Yes. What is being taught in these few verses? Jesus, we know, would not hurt a bruised reed, one that's in a broken state. Those who are weak, with most of their spiritual life drained out of them. A reed is weak, but a bruised weak can't stand in its own strength. A bruised reed is worse than a regular reed. There's nothing feebler than a cracked reed or a wick that's just flickering. Yet, Jesus, he doesn't render them as useless. He doesn't feel that they've gone too far. Jesus feels there's always possibilities of improvement. Look how he treats the downtrodden. His treatment of the believer who was weakest, so to speak, least alive, Jesus is long-suffering and gentle. Think in your own life. Think how Jesus was with you. The long-suffering, the gentleness. Jesus wouldn't put out the flame or the spark of those who just with even the faintest desire for salvation. Maybe you write down where you hardly got any desire at all to serve God. Just a little spark. Jesus is not going to put out that spark. Amen. He wouldn't stifle those desires, but rather he'll encourage them. Even the worst and the most undeserving of men, if they even had the faintest of desire for salvation, Jesus would encourage it. If they even had even a thought of how they would like to, even had they have a thought of how they'd like to have victory, there Jesus will be to help them. Do you feel like your bruised reed this morning? Is your soul broken, contrite because of failures or sin? Do you feel weak been in the valley of despair, there is hope. There's hope for you, but you got to stop looking to yourself for help. You cannot continue to lean upon your strength, your support, your wisdom. You cannot lean to those self, to yourself, amen, and heal. Amen, heal, amen, those broken hearts. 2 Kings, the 18th chapter this morning. 2 Kings, 18th chapter, verse 21. Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. What's he saying? Leaning on your own strength is likened to those who trusted in Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It turned out to be disappointing and hurtful. A bruised reed and a smoking flax are really good for anything in their own natural state. A reed is weak anyhow, but like I said, a bruised reed is even weaker, ready to break, not good for anything. And as we look at this scripture this morning, we want to bring a few thoughts to each one of these conditions. God help us. There's help in the Word of God. Some of us, when we come to Jesus Christ, you might consider, you might say that we was in worse shape than others. Some were raised up in the congregation. Some knew the truth. Some had godly parents. But some of us had none of that. Some of us, amen, were just kind of left to our own selves out here, and we made a real mess of our lives. But Jesus, there was Jesus. Yeah. A bruised reed, a helpless condition. Can't seem to do anything right. And everything they seem to touch is wrong. And everything they do to help themselves is a failure. Everything they tried didn't work out. They have a feeling of despair, out of control, ready and waiting for total destruction. The reed is an emblem of feebleness or lack of stability. And how I can remember in my own life coming to the place of despair. No hope. Everything was a failure. Everything I tried within my own strength was a failure, was a disappointment. But there was Jesus. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Did you go out to see like a reed that blows in the wind, one direction than another? Did you go out to see somebody that was unstable, unsteady? Which believes and speaks one thing today and something else tomorrow. The scripture says the Lord will not break you or rend you in pieces. We're not talking about just a reed this morning, but a broken reed. An emblem of a soul that is broken but contrite, sorry because of sin. A soul that is weeping and mourning because of their sin. What's the scripture saying? Christ will not be severe to you. He won't be harsh to you. But rather, he's ready to heal, to forgive, to pardon, and to give you strength this morning. A smoking flax. Thank God I had a spark in me. At least I had a spark. Not much of a flame, but at least a little bit, of flame. A smoking flax, a helpless condition, life slowly being extinguished, ready to lose all desire, hopeless, ready to completely give up. Like the dry bones in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Let's read it just a little bit. 37th chapter, Ezekiel, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very, very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, the shape they're in, God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God's got something to say. Hear the word of the Lord. We may preach and we can effect an outward revolution, but there can be no life until the divine breath of God passes over. We must preach the word of God, instant and season out, but we must also call on the Spirit of life. 2 Timothy the 4th chapter, verse number 2 says this: preach the word. Be instant, or be ready, in season when it's favorable, out of season when it's not favorable. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and do it with all long suffering and doctrine. Our only hope, church, is in hearing the word of God. Amen. Romans 10th chapter, verse number 13. Listen to what Paul writes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Then it takes God's Holy Spirit to convince you you're wrong and what to do to be right. Israel, in the book of Ezekiel, 37th chapter, was in a hopeless state. What did God say to the prophet? Preach. Preach to him. Preach to him. Israel was in a hopeless state, just like people get into a hopeless state. Amen. Their desire is just about gone. Their hope has went away also. They're to the place where they're existing. But let me tell you this morning, there's hope. There's hope. The Lord is saying He won't forsake you. He's not going to extinguish you. He's not going to put that little amen spark out. The smoking flax represents a dying, flickering flame. The law is left is almost just smoke. How do you spark it all? Just smoke. And even though you are feeble this morning, just beyond hope, Christ will not deal harshly with you, but rather will pour in some oil of grace and fan the feeble flame till there's a light shining once more. How did I get hope in my life? Well, I went to 6th Street and heard the gospel. I was as this bruised reed, smoking flax. I was hopeless, helpless, despair, no desire for anything until I heard the gospel. And that's how every one of you sitting out there, amen, with any kind of flame at all, it came about because of the gospel. How is Christ going to heal a broken reed and a smoldering flax? Verse 20 says, till He send forth judgment unto victory. Now, what's that mean? Until He sends judgment unto victory. Well, Christ is not going to break a bruised reed, nor will He snuff out a smoldering flax, but rather He's going to send forth judgment. His truth, His law, which if is heeded, will lead you out of that condition and give you victory instead of weakness. Amen. He'll send forth fanners. Who are fanners? God called ministry. He uses fanners against Babylon. God still has got fanners in His church. Acts 20:28 said, they're called to feed the church of God. Not to thrash it, but to feed it. Jeremiah 51:2, and He will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of the trouble, they shall be against her round about. It takes a God-called ministry, because they're the only ones that are in the hand of God. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Turn with me this morning. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will truly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The fan is in his hand. That's the place where God's ministry is, in God's hands. He has control of their life, their message, amen, their thoughts. Revelation, the 1st chapter. Let me digress just a minute. Revelation 1:18. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Amen. What are the 7 stars? And where are they? Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Seven stars are the angels. Who are the angels? The ministry. Oh, amen. Or in the letters, amen, was written to the ministry or to the angel, to the seven churches of Asia, amen, and they would be the overseers or the pastor. For those who are bruised this morning, just about ready to go under, God has a healing balm. Jesus Christ, He won't take you further down. He won't break you, but rather He'll heal you if you take faith in the Word. Can you believe His Word? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Although your heart is broken, He can restore you whole again. Turn with me to the prophet Isaiah, 61st chapter, verse 1. I believe that's the text I took on the first message I ever preached at the Church of God. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The brokenhearted are those distressed, afflicted because of sin. There is a healing that the gospel can do if you take faith and believe in His Word this morning. To the smoldering flax, Christ is not going to extinguish you. Amen. Once and for all, but rather He'll fan that spark till you believe in the gospel, and He'll strengthen you, settle you, put you on your feet as a solid child of God. He's sending forth His Word this morning to bring you to victory if you receive it. You need to believe the Word of God and get your mind off of what you can do. But look to the power of God. That's where the healing really lies this morning. Don't turn to the world for help. There's no use of a bruised reed going to more bruised reeds. The world will put the smoldering flax out. It'll finish the bruised reed. There are many things that will put out the smoldering flax and break the bruised reed. Amen. Don't walk away from help from the Lord and raise up or rebel against His Word. Amen. Don't try to go on in your own strength and ignore the Word of God. I'm getting ready to close. Jesus will not break the crushed reed, nor quench the smoldering flax, or wick or flax. The reed may be bruised and hardly able to stand erect, straight up. The wick may be weak, and the light, once in a while, just a little flicker. A man's life may be shaken weak. The light of his life may be but a flicker and not a flame. But Jesus didn't come to destroy that. He didn't come to put it out. But he came to turn that spark into a flame in your life. Amen. He came to nurse it back. Amen. Where I'll give light. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse number 6 says this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? The power of God. The Apostle Paul lived a life of trial. You read all about it. From the moment he got saved, there were ones out to take his life. Acts 9:23 says in the latter part that the Jews took counsel to kill him. Paul had an exciting life, being blessed and used of God mightily. He didn't allow those things that came upon him to put out the flame. Amen. He said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, therefore I'll take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. The same God who will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax will also keep you every day of your journey on the highway of holiness. Recovery for the bruised reed and the smoking flax lies in one thing: obedience, faith in the word of God. Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Amen. Not able to go, but still alive. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he also passed by on the other side. There was no help in the law and the prophets. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. And he went to him. What did he do? He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, brought him to the church, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host and said, take care of it, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I'll repay thee. Take out those 2 pence the Word and the Spirit. Keeping. That'll keep him. That'll take care of him. Verse 36 says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said this, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, do thou likewise. Mercy is the attitude of God and his church. They go together. The church is not here to hurt you, but to help you heal through faith in the gospel. And if God has talked to you at all this morning, to be healed, you've got to do what he told you to do. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 7, the writer of the Hebrew letter says this, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, he's here to help us this morning. Not to destroy you, but to help you. To help you. If your life has been one complete failure, I'm talking about spiritually, then you need help. And your help is going to come when you obey Jesus Christ this morning.